When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Nothing better than taking the train into the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. We've got football.
Northwestern had their first two drives. They dictated the tempo, and then a blocked punt turned everything around for Ohio State. They score 31 unanswered points. Clean game from Will Howard. Running game got going. 2 yards difference between those two backs, and we saw some big plays from Jeremiah Smith.
History made on that kneel down. Indiana is 10-0.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Man, it's going to be a fun weekend in college football. It is every weekend. We're delighted to welcome in Jake Butt to the program. He joins us on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. You see him on CHSN and the Big Ten Network. Great college football analyst. Jake, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Listen, I'm delighted to be with you guys and talk some football.
Yeah, we are really pumped up because we've been talking about it all morning. And I can't get away from the feeling that everything that's going on with the college football playoff rankings and the way they're releasing it, it's just setting up what's going to happen at the end of the year.
Chaos.
I don't know. Should there be 4 Big Ten teams? You would think so. Should there be 4 SEC teams? It looks that way, but what if they got a 3-loss team? And then all of the kind of storylines that stem out of that from all over the country. It's just a fascinating thing. You would think the 12-team playoff would make it easier, and it seems like it's even more complex.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. It's like, you know, we started with the BCS National Championship, and that had its issues. So we expanded the 4-team playoff. That has its issues. So we go to the 12-team playoff, and now in a few years we'll probably have like a 16-team and then an 18-team. There'll be a 100-team play. The whole season will be a playoff in 20 years from now, most likely. So, one thing that's interesting, though, is it's okay. We talk about the college football playoff, but the change also comes at a time where now we're in the world of NIL and transfer portal. And one really interesting thing that's come out of this, where it kind of plays into the debate of how many SEC teams will we get? You know, when I was playing back at Michigan, there was huge talent discrepancies. I mean, we had good teams at Michigan, but you look at the teams that ultimately won the national championship, like Alabama or Clemson back then, they were loaded with talent. They would have 4 and 5 stars in their 3 deep on their bench. Nowadays, because of the NIL and transfer portal, the best teams can't hoard talent. So that's why Georgia has a tough schedule this year. If this was Georgia a few years ago, it wouldn't matter. They'd run over everybody. But now talent is being dispersed across the country, which has led to the most parity we've had, at least as far as I can remember, in the college football level. And that also adds to the drama at the end of the season.
Great example is Indiana, that Kirk Cignetti comes in year one and has put together a team that nobody expected to be 10-0 at this stage. So, Jake, I ask you this. You have seen the Hoosiers, and you know they've got a huge challenge to beat Ohio State this weekend. If they lose that game, some people will be like, well, told you, they're not really all that. But I wonder, what do you think of the Indiana Hoosiers, even if they are unable to beat Ohio State this week, in terms of their viability to be in that 12-team playoff?
I actually think there'll be some people that think that. I think most people are tired of hearing from the SEC and they're tired of seeing the SEC. I'd say the overwhelming majority of people feels Indiana has done enough to deserve to get into the playoff as it stands right now. Now, I think the fair thing to say is, one, I actually think they could beat Ohio State. Okay, I'll start by saying that. I think they could beat Ohio State. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think if Ohio State plays their best game and Indiana plays their best game, Ohio State will win. Okay, that's just the program difference there. But I think no one plays their best game, and Indiana can pull it off. Won't be easy. But the other question is what does it look like if they do lose? Does it look like Ohio State's in a completely different class then we could start to have some questions. And then that's when the debate's really going to pick up. So for Indiana, they have to play their best game of the year. It's going to take that just to keep this one close. But certainly if they want to upset Ohio State, but man, they're going to want to keep this one close if they want to keep that debate alive.
You know, it's fascinating because there's all sorts of different ideas and different suggestions going around. I saw Joey Galloway yesterday on ESPN said that he thinks Curtis Rourke should sit out the Ohio State game. That if you believe, it sounds like it's ridiculous. Only what happened with Florida State last year when their quarterback got hurt?
It is ridiculous, but I understand where he's coming from.
If you lost your quarterback, and he didn't play in the second half against Nebraska earlier in the year, and they won the game anyway, but if you lost him, like Florida State lost their quarterback last year, does that mean that a one-loss Indiana doesn't get in? Would the committee look at it that way? That's the problem with all this stuff. And then Lane Kiffin said he's talked to coaches in the SEC, and they've all said they don't want to play in the championship game because if you lose that game, now you got three losses, you don't get into the 12.
It's another reality I hate, Jake, but it's a reality almost.
How the tables have turned, though. Listen, like it's. I'm 29 years old. I'm supposed to be part of the new generation that sits out of bowl games and does all this stuff. And here I am about to beat my chest saying, no, you play the games. What do we mean? Joey Galloway's, he's a legend. He came before me. He's not supposed to be talking about sitting out. No, I think Indiana can win this game. Kurt Cignetti, he's not cut from that cloth, man. Curtis Rourke, he's not cut from that cloth. Go, I'm telling you, just you got to watch some Curtis Rourke film, man. He's the truth. He is a real big time gamer. They can win this game. I'm telling you right now. I don't think it's, you know, it's not likely, but they can win this game. And man, you're telling me you're going to get to the, I understand the conference game a little bit more. So if you guys pull up, if you look at the playoff bracket, you know, let's say everything goes according to plan and Oregon has a rematch against Ohio State. Okay. The winner of that game will be the number one seed. They'll get a bye. The loser of that game is probably the second best team in college football. Mm-hmm. That's going to be bumped down to the 5 seed because of the auto bids. So in terms of like value, you have a 2 seed that's rated as a 5 seed. That 5 seed in the current rankings would play BYU at home and then play Boise State for a chance to go to the semis. That's a very favorable path. So if you could sell me on anything, I could understand a team kind of maybe, you know, taking it easy in the conference championship to try to get a favorable matchup, favorable line of sight there.
All right, Jake, I know you focus mostly on the Big Ten, but you're fully aware of Notre Dame and what it's done this season since losing to Northern Illinois. 8 straight victories. I think they're averaging 42 points a game. Help us put Notre Dame's season in perspective as it pertains to the playoff, and are they a viable national championship contender?
Oh, that last question's tough because initially I'd say no, but when I look at some of the advanced statistics like EPA per play, their offense and defense is top 15 in both of those categories. So that's really, really impressive. And since that NIU loss, they've been absolutely dominating teams. I think their defense can keep any game close. That defense is really talented and can keep any game close. To me, they're capped by what they can get from Riley Leonard. I'm not sold on Riley Leonard as a quarterback that has earned the right for me to bang my fist on the table and say that's a national championship level quarterback. But he does some nice things running the ball. Like he can lead them to some wins. This weekend it's another weekend that's gonna reveal a lot because Army does some things that are really interesting. You know that they got that quarterback that can Bryson Daly. He can run around. He can throw it around. Like these types of games against the service academies really stress your fundamentals. So I still want to see Notre Dame finish this season out. Even a game against USC. That team's much more talented than their schedule. I still want to see Notre Dame play a few more games before I'm saying for certain that, you know, they're going to go ahead and make a run at a national title.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So I think one of the things that I love about what's going on is, and I agree with you, I think we're all kind of burnt out on the SEC, but one of the questions out there is, why is Tennessee the bubble team and not Ole Miss? You know, is it worse to lose to a 5-5 Arkansas team on the road or a 4-6 Kentucky team at home? You're now measuring losses, and then you get to Penn State, and their best win is against 6-3 Illinois. And I love Illinois and their program, but they're 25th in the country. So you start trying to measure these teams, and I always thought that the strength of schedule was the most important element, but when you have all these super conferences now, is it more valuable a loss against an opponent from within your conference? Is there going to be a three-loss team in this 12? I guess that's where I'm going.
I know. I wish if I had a crystal ball, I'd tell you. You know, I really would. I'll say this. You know, just for all the crap I give the SEC, I get it. Trust me. I mean, that Georgia schedule this year is absolutely brutal, and it's a gauntlet. And do I think Indiana would have the same record as Georgia? No, I don't. I don't think Georgia might be the only team to have the current record that they have. But listen, that's just the way these things shake out. And you have to protect the integrity of the process. If we start saying, oh, well, Georgia should be in based off of fairy tale metrics of who we think would win, you erode everything. Then there's no need to play any of the games. And the other issue I have with some of these three lost teams, like, you know, had Georgia lost to Tennessee last weekend, you know, we'd be talking, right. That's where the conversation was really going to heat up. You make sure your house is in order if you're going to be saying that, because here's Georgia getting smoked by Ole Miss. They've looked shaky against Kentucky. They've looked shaky a number of times this year. If you're perfect, then I can start to, you know, I can start to understand some of the other arguments, but how shaky they've looked. Like, it's not Indiana for their schedule. They've dominated every opponent. Here's Georgia against a very average Kentucky team looking extremely shaky, yes, among other games on their schedule. That's where I'm hesitant, because that tells me anyone can beat Georgia on any given week.
We're talking with Jake Butt from the Chicago Sports Network and also the Big Ten Network, college football here on the Score. Jake, when you look at the 12-team format and you look at the 12 teams that are currently ready for the playoff, and whether it's today or with the final bracket, how many of those 12 teams do you think legitimately will have a chance to win it all?
Yeah, I think really from the Big Ten, you're looking at really pretty much the only teams that can win it all is Oregon and Ohio State. And even though Oregon beat them, I feel more confident in saying Ohio State. Now, I will say there's a huge injury news coming out of Columbus. They likely lost their center for the season, and they already lost their left tackle and then had to bump out their guard. They got issues on that offensive line. So it's one of those two teams. And then of the current bracket, I really think it's Georgia, Alabama, Texas, I'm hesitant to say, because they really haven't beaten anyone. Crazy. I know their schedule is shaky, and Ole Miss. It's going to come from those two teams in the Big Ten, Oregon, Ohio State, or one of the four SEC teams. I don't think anyone else can actually win it.
Great stuff. I got to tell you, I look at this and it really fires me up, because this is, you know, like, I think a week ago, Notre Dame would have been at Tennessee. Now they're home to Alabama. Like, it's just, I think that might be worse than being at Tennessee. It's just so hard.
You'd rather play what you consider a lesser team on the road than have a better team at home?
That's what I'm asking.
I don't know, Jay. I think I'd want the home game.
I don't know either. I don't know. I really don't know. I wish that any. We don't know. This is the whole point, though. Is this is a completely new chapter of college football. Like a few years ago, you could say that for sure. But now there's every team's talented. Even a team like Boise State, like Ashton Gentry, is so talented. He solves problems. Many have tried to tackle him. Many have fallen, Oregon included, right? So, like, anyone can really win on any given day. And one thing that's interesting here, too, is the home playoff games really make this interesting, because all of a sudden, right, rather than having playoff games in the South where the weather is going to be nice, you might have to go up. Say Georgia plays Penn State, Georgia's going to be a heavy favorite until it's snowing outside and Georgia realizes they can't run the ball, right? Like, anything can happen. So who knows, guys? I wish I had some certain answers for you. I don't.
Jake, unrelated to the 12-game or 12-team playoff, Illinois has really had a strong season under Brett Bielema. I can remember Brett being in here in the summer and having conversation, and basically this was a big year for him. I think he needed to show what they have shown. Why do you think they have had the kind of season they have?
Him, Luke Altmyer, pretty much. That's it. And I think their defense has done a great job of taking the ball away. And why? Really, let's just give Brett credit. Like, let's take a second to give Brett Bielema credit and recognize the job he's done. And he's a damn good coach. And I think a lot of programs would be lucky to have Brett Bielema as their coach. The funny thing is normally they win through trench play, like dominant trench play. They don't have dominant trench play this year. That's the sign of a good coach in terms of his ability to adapt. They're winning by quarterback play and great receiver play. So that's it, you give a ton of credit to Brett Bielema.
You know, Colorado is still alive, although the quarterback's going to Dallas and the father is going to go coach him there. I mean, there's just so many funny things going on around college football and rumors connected to the NFL. But, you know, these automatic conference bids, I'm not sure how good some of these teams are, and I'm not sure who's going to be able to close it out. I mean, there have been some shocking results, and we'll see.
I know that's the number one thing that I think that discussion is going to heat up. BYU's not making a run. I'm sorry, Miami's not making a run. Even though what I said about Boise State, they're not playing in the national championship. And in terms of leverage, the Big Ten and the SEC have all the leverage in the world going forward. So I'd expect them to continue to strong arm this process to try to gather up more and more picks.
So, Jake, before we let you go, please indulge us, because we are both big Jim Harbaugh guys and wanted the Bears to go after him last year. You played for Jim Harbaugh. You have to be enjoying what he's doing with the Chargers. And I guess what kind of insight can you lend into helping us understand why he is such an effective football coach and what he meant to you during your time at Michigan?
I don't want to rub it in, but the conversations, the feeling you guys would have waking up on a day-to-day basis if Jim Harbaugh was the coach of the Chicago Bears would be night and day from how you probably feel right now. You're not having a dude fight with the crowd against the Commanders if Jim Harbaugh is the coach. We'll start there. That's not going to happen. The other piece is look at the Chargers game last week. Like, there's the fork in the road of who the Chargers were versus right, who the Chargers are. They were up big. The Bengals come back. And if you're a Chargers fan, you're thinking, oh, my God, here we go again. And then what happens? And I was listening to J.K. Dobbins talk about a clip where he knew the Bengals were going to let him score. And the right thing to do was to slide down, slide down and just let the clock run out. And he asked his center and his coach, and he said, no, they all said, go score. Go score, because communicate to the world that this is not the same old Chargers. That's what Jim does, is he instills belief. I don't know if you guys see the videos from the locker room. Jim instills belief from top down in organizations that you will win, that the page has been turned. More than anything, that's what Jim does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wow. I know.
Thanks,
that's so
Jake.
Good. That's good stuff. Jake, thanks a ton.
Good
great,
stuff,
great
Jake.
Great talking to you. It's an unbelievable subject. I cannot wait. It feels like it's just setting up.
Yeah,
it's going to be great. I don't know what.
But appreciate you getting up, though, Jake.
Thanks, guys.
That is Jake Butt from Chicago Sports Network.